This is Anthony Robbins, host of The Reality Is Where Filtering Becomes Extinct. This is Anthony Robbins, host of The Reality Is Where Filtering Becomes Extinct.
We give y'all real New Orleans.
I've been lying for so long.
Believe me, I'm probably a pornoologist.
We cannot continue to deny women or minorities access to a system that has everything but their input.
You are now listening to The Reality. Now listening to The Reality Is.
What a world. I'm your host, Anthony Roberts. You're now listening to The Reality Is Where Filtering Becomes Extinct. And today's show is brought to you by Blog Talk Radio, your voice, your independence, your platform. So join us as we work to build a listener and podcast-centric ecosystem by going to www.blogtalkradio.com. This episode is also brought to you by Bella's Kitchen. If you don't like cooking, then get to booking your meal prep plan today with Bella's Kitchen.
She's on vacation to the 7th, and I'm struggling.
If you're struggling, that means I'm struggling because you don't cook.
I do cook. I'm actually cooking today. What are you talking about?
You cook every now and again.
I've been cooking more lately.
Since
you said something.
I had to put my goddamn foot down around this motherfucker. You need to eat.
Yeah, but you were eating. Don't make it seem like you was just starving.
Yeah, I mean, I was eating, but you know, it's just a difference when you have a home-cooked meal.
Yes, I do know that.
You remember like old Martin on what was that thin line between 11 and 8? He was like, you got the fries, mama, the homemade fries.
Yeah.
Don't put too much salt in them greens, it'll make your feet fat. It's just something about a home-cooked meal, man. I mean, you could buy me something. It's just like you go to a restaurant and you eat something and it's like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really good at that point. But mm-hmm. when you cook it at home mm-hmm. and the girl or your mama can season it a little bit more and add a little bit more shrimp to it or mm-hmm. a little bit more chicken to it, then you're like, this is hearty. This is a hearty meal. Before we get started, man, you know, I haven't done any listener questions or listener reads in a while, but I got an email yesterday via Facebook on The Reality Is, and it was from Donald. I won't say his last name. I like to try to practice keeping people's government names behind closed doors. So Donald from Buffalo, New York, I want to say I appreciate you, man. You made my day yesterday. I know I replied to you and I told you that you made my day, but it's messages like this that make me be like, hey, man, I definitely got to keep doing a podcast. And you know, as many times as I've wanted to shut it down, mm-hmm. you know, I had to finish sipping your wine. You could keep sipping it. But
wine? Who got wine at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning?
Hey, didn't nobody know it was 10 o'clock until you just said that. So you got yourself. But I want to read a little bit, two parts of the message that Donald sent to me. I won't read my reply, so there'll be some things missing. But Donald, he hit me up and he said, hey, man, I know you got a ton. I know you probably get tons of messages. But I listened to the last podcast, episode 120, and your message hit home. I was diagnosed with Bell's palsy when I was 7, and still to this day, at the age of 32, I deal with the issue. This episode was very encouraging and motivating. I don't want to keep going on and on, but please keep it up, and everyone here in Buffalo, New York loves you. Take care. We kept talking, and after I, you know, showed my appreciation and told him I appreciate him for listening and just allowing my story to help him with you being the one here with me
mm-hmm.
when I was going through that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how empty I felt.
Mm-hmm.
You know how depressed I got. But you also know how stubborn I was before that time came for me to actually go to the doctor. And if it wasn't mm-hmm. for you, my mom, and my aunt, like saying, hey, go, you know, I would have been there. And that's the thing with black men and men, period. A lot of times we want to deal with our ailments on our own. We don't want to go to the doctor. We don't want to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many men dying from polyps in their colon, you know, and having colon cancer because we this ego, this macho type syndrome keeps us from doing these things.
Yep.
What is one of the things you remember about me in that situation?
You having to get over yourself, and first you wanted somebody to come to you, and then when you found out that wasn't an option, you was like, well, forget it altogether. I'm not going to go.
Oh, you're talking about the doctor.
Yeah.
So you got to specify that. You got to explain, like,
yeah, they wanted the doctor to come out.
Because my job has a service that allows doctors to come see you at home.
And that's just for basic stuff like a common cold or ear infection, you know. But, yeah, as soon as I just called literally to pacify you. I already knew what they were going to say, but I called and I told them what was going on. And they were literally like, yeah, you need to go to the emergency.
I'm
going
to allow you to say pacify and not even edit it off the podcast. You know, in the feminist misogynist movement that we're in.
I'm just going to laugh.
I
got to
take some of this patriarchy system back.
I'm just going to laugh.
It's a man's world. No, I'm fucking with you. If somebody really know me, they know I don't believe in that misogynistic bullshit. Even though I can be misogynist from time to time. You know, porn did that to me. Sorry.
Yes.
Okay. So I wanted to finish up what Donald from Buffalo said. He also ended by saying, after, you know, talking to him, I told him I would definitely give him a shout out on the podcast because, again, he made my day. But he said, wow, man, that would be amazing to get a shout out. I appreciate you, man, for you using your platform to be honest and genuine with your stories. Ever since I heard your podcast, you have given me the ability to be comfortable in my own skin. And again, my story of Bell's palsy. I appreciate that, brother, and I'm forever in your debt. Mad love, and I wish you so much success.
That's amazing.
It is. Mm-hmm. I was like, what the hell? You know, you come to people and you get a compliment from people, you know, and it's like, sometimes we don't take compliments well. I posted on Facebook yesterday. I said, ride your own dick. Sometimes the shit feels good. And I got a lot of comments on that.
I don't have a dick, but I know what you meant when you were saying it, and it does feel great.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I had a little bit of that this week myself.
That's what I'm saying. That shit feels amazing. You can't tell me that shit don't feel amazing. Ride, what does ride your own dick mean? Have some confidence. That's what I'm going to name this podcast. Ride your own dick. Mm-hmm. Ride your own dick is basically giving yourself props and acknowledging how fucking great you are before somebody else does it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we, especially right now with the shut up, bitch, be humble, shut mm-hmm. up, you know, like everybody's saying be humble. And it's like, it's great to be humble. Mm-hmm. When they say be humble, it's just, you normally hear people say be humble, like going into humble beginnings or, mm-hmm. you know, be humble if you make it to a certain, you know, obtain a certain status.
Yeah.
But sometimes being humble is cool, but sometimes you got to shoot the shit and say, you know what? I am.
Yeah,
fucking fly.
That's how I felt this week.
I'm fucking dope.
I've always been humble. I mean, that's just my personality. But yeah, I was like, I was sitting up and I was talking to somebody, and then I was thinking about some stuff, and I was like, you know what?
He's talking to another guy, right?
I'm low key to shit.
That's how you felt. It's okay to feel that way. It's okay to feel that way. And then being in your position where you've always had people try to say, well, you're not this and you're not that mm-hmm. and you're not enough of this. Sometimes you just got to say, fuck what everybody else thinking. I got to get this tea in. Excuse me real quick, y'all.
You have to slurp it so hard.
I know I drink like a 3-year-old. It's okay. It's been that way. I know people probably like when they heard me doing it with Esther, they probably was like, this nigga don't do that. I drink like a kid.
No, he literally does.
I drink like a kid. Now, if I'm in a restaurant and I have to drink like some red wine, I have some cooth about myself.
Some manners. Yeah. Table manners.
But when I'm at home, I'm a savage. I eat with my hands.
No presentation.
I drop shit on my shirt. And when it's time to eat, you know, she decorates her plate like she's serving it at a restaurant. I just slop my shit on there like a hog pen.
That's
and
why
I go
I like
in
to make the place. At least you have a moment of presentation before you just.
And then I fuck that shit up once
you
my
have
ass
food
at the couch.
And your beard and everything.
Yeah, Christian was saying that the other night. I was eating something. And he was like, "Hey, bro, you got this in your beard." I was like, "I've never been able to grow a full beard where it hangs past my chin." And I was like, "I mean, you brush my every time I brush my teeth, I get shit in my beard. I can't help it. It wings out. It doesn't go straight down. So it is what it is." But man, again, the homie. Donald from Buffalo, man, we appreciate you. Tell somebody else, man. And also, if you haven't left a review on the podcast, go ahead and leave a review. Leave us a rating and review. You can do that at blogtalkradio.com by just going to our page and doing that.
iTunes.
You can do it on iTunes.
Yeah.
You can do it on Stitcher. We appreciate it.
And it's so funny because the reviews are what
perfect helps timing
drive the podcast because he mentioned that he discovered the podcast because it was featured on the new and noteworthy section of iTunes.
And the Black Experience.
Yeah. So the more ratings and the more reviews
that we get.
Yeah.
The more love we get. Right now, I think on Apple, we have about 15 or 16 reviews. I know we have more than 15 or 16 followers or listeners. We have, I think I told you guys on Facebook last year, all of last year, we had 15,800 listeners. Mm-hmm. Already since we got on Blog Talk in February, it's 10,500. Mm-hmm. So y'all are listening. So if you're listening, leave us a rating or a review. Like I told you before, we don't care if it's a good review. We don't care if it's a bad review. We just want to hear from you. So Amber Rose responded to this colorism stuff on Facebook. Let me pull up this Facebook page and I'll let you read it because I don't think I'm that long-winded today. But she made some statements on Facebook in reference to like colorism and what it was like being light skinned, growing up light skinned, and not realizing her light skinned privilege and everything in reference to guys and getting, you know, personal gifts and things like that. And now that she does realize it as being an adult, she's speaking out on it. And it was one guy when I saw this post who posted it, and he was like, finally, Amber Rose is saying something worth listening to. Mm-hmm. Amber Rose always says shit that's worth listening to. She always tries to push women forward. She always is trying to empower women. Mm-hmm. Just because you don't understand a fucking slut walk doesn't mean it's a negative thing. Just because you don't understand something or understand somebody doesn't make that person wrong. White people, just because you don't understand black people, it doesn't make you racist, but it doesn't make us savages either. Get to know each other. So if you please don't mind, if you don't mind reading... I'm backwards today. I'm a little inebriated too.
Jesus.
Yeah, we both high on the horse today. So,
well, speak for yourself, honey.
So read this. Read this, and it'll basically tell people why she spoke out of how she felt about the whole colorism issue.
Okay, so it says, shaking my head, this really makes me so sad. Being a yellow bone, mixed light-skinned woman, I know, unfortunately, that modeling jobs, boys, and opportunities came to me easier, but did not realize that until I got older. Growing up in Philly, I went to an all-black school. I was the white girl, the one that the boys didn't like, the girl that wasn't as cool as the brown-skinned girls. Black was the thing to be.
Go to the next page. Feel like we're doing a lecture.
But wait a minute. It's still a hole.
Yeah, what you say?
It's like I'm right here. You want me to go to the next page? It's like a long passage that she wrote on Instagram, guys.
Okay, well, you know how they did in school. Let me read the next part, then you'll read the third part. Let's read this next one. But for me, I'm not as good a reader as you. But for me, my mom was my only black parent. My dad was as white as snow, and I came out just as light as him. I would lay out in the sun and try to get as dark as I could. I would look at all the beautiful dark-skinned girls in my class and wish I could be and wear bright colors like they did. Mm-hmm. But it never quite looked as good on my complexion. But the brown-skinned girls would pick on me, pull my hair, and want to fight me for no reason. Why, though? I love them. I wanted to be them. Little did I know, at such a young age, society was teaching me to hate me. Society was telling me these girls that they weren't as beautiful as me because of their complexion. They were too strong and too outspoken. Mm-hmm. It was okay for men to have sex with them behind closed doors, but not okay to have them on their arm, as light-skinned girls were some type of trophy for a man or his social status. Insinuating that he had money or he just had a bad bitch. I wanted to be with them and they wanted to be with me. Getting older, I found myself always battling racism, feminism, asking directors, why isn't there any dark-skinned girls in the music videos I was featured in? Even when I was a stripper, maybe there were one or two brown-skinned girls that would be hired because they didn't want the club to be too black. Mm-hmm. I can't help that I was born with light skin, but I am a woman before anything else. We need to stick together as women, educate society, educate men like this with black mothers, not let men or people dictate what type of woman is in style or beautiful. We're all smart and capable of being great, no matter where we come from or what complexion we are. If no one tells you you're beautiful, I'm here to tell you that you are. Let's change the stigma. I love you all, mother. That wrote off my lip pretty good.
Yeah, that's because you're like number one fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean.
So that's why. So
what are your thoughts about that part?
I mean, I agree. I think it was very well stated. And I just think it's funny that a lot of times people always seemingly want what the other person has. Like she was light skin, wanting to be like the brown skin girls, and the brown skin girls felt like they needed to be like the light skin girls. I mean, and I think that's prevalent in the black community, which is so sad because even in my own family, like my mom she was like super bright.
Yeah.
She was light bright.
Yeah.
And I'm brown skinned. I take that from my dad. But even in my family, like my grandmother, she was always like, oh, you high yellow, or the brown skinned girls were treated differently than the high yellow girls in your family. So what else do you expect?
I mean, I like light-skinned girls, and I think it was one of those things, too, in high school. Like she said, people just kind of were drawn to her because mm-hmm. she's light-skinned. You know what I'm saying? And for me, I think I've only dated maybe one or two light-skinned girls in my life. But and even in the black community, you do see that thing. It is a thing mm-hmm. where it's dark-skinned guys, light-skinned girls. Mm-hmm. That's why for us, it doesn't surprise us when you see dark-skinned men mm-hmm. with white women. Is just the complexion thing. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? It goes back to that song with Bilal and Kendrick Lamar, Complexion. Mm-hmm. You know, complexion has always been a thing. It always will be a thing. Mm-hmm. But I think black women are beautiful. Dark-skinned women, light-skinned women, all of them. But I definitely don't feel like dark-skinned women get enough play mm-hmm. or enough shine. Mm-hmm. And I love them.
Dark-skinned women, dark-skinned men. I have grown to have a new appreciation for a dark-skinned man.
I just don't think you appreciate me, though.
I do appreciate you. No. Oh, my God. How could you say that?
The way you be looking at, I know I ain't Kofi them and Idris Elba. I'm not them. I know.
Y'all all were just kissed by God.
No, they are a handsome man. They are very handsome
for
man.
For real. But I grew up only... seemingly only being attracted to light-skinned guys.
Yeah.
My mom used to always tell me, she'd be like, the blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice. Like, she loved a dark, dark-skinned man.
Yeah, your
like,
daddy
dark
is,
as night.
Yeah, your daddy is nigga. Nigga as a color. That he is nigga.
Whatever. But, I don't know. Light-skinned guys, they're too pretty. Like, it's something about them. It's just like a turn
off. Some of them. Some Most of them are a little rough around the edges. Yeah, it's very few. I probably only know like one or two. The colorism thing is also a big thing this week because, you know, Kodak Black was saying he only fucked with light-skinned chicks. So it's like colorism, you know, raises its head again. And I think this whole Amber Rose thing kind of not sparked from this, but they kind of streamlined with each other because of the timing of it.
Yeah.
So Kodak Black was basically did a video and he was saying that he liked light-skinned girls. He's like, I don't fuck with dark-skinned girls. And he was saying he doesn't like dark-skinned women, but not like he hates them. He just has a preference of light-skinned women. And he went on to say, if he would have said, you know.
He could have said it better. I mean, everybody has a preference, but that was just. Yeah.
So, of course, black women ate him up on Twitter, Facebook, and all sorts of social media. So, I guess at a charity basketball game, he spoke out. And I'll just play the clip so you guys can hear it. And hear how he be talking. Yeah, come on, black, you know, say fuck against him. I said, I just don't fucking
that.
And
how he thought that was going to be better, I don't know.
But here you go, man.
To say that he likes skinny women, if he prefers skinny women more than a more chubby or heavy set women, he could say that and nobody won't get mad at him. I just said I don't like women with my complexion. I like light skinned women. I want you to be lighter than me. I love African American women, but I just don't like my skin complexion.
Okay. Well, I like your skin complexion.
We too gutter. Black people, my complexion, we too gutter. Light-skinned women, they more sensitive, you know?
There's some dark-skinned women out here sensitive.
No, they too tough. Light-skinned women, we could break them down more easy, you know what I'm saying? Okay. Yeah. That's it. We shout out to Channing TV, already know Florida, we in the good, Ty, Sniper Gang.
Oh, man, the way he sounded at the end. But did you see the guy's face? It's a video.
Mm-hmm.
So did you see the guy's face at the end when he said black women, when she was like, there's some black soft-skinned women out there?
Yeah.
Well, I think he also made the face like bullshit, too.
Mm-hmm. Of course you did.
So what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I agree. I'm not light.
Do you think dark skinned women are more aggressive or whatever than light skinned women?
I think black women as a whole have a bad rap because we have had to be so many things that we shouldn't have had to be. But no, I think it's just all about each individual person. You can't put everybody in a giant pot and say everybody's the same. I'm a black woman. I'm dark skin, or not dark, but
you like caramel complexion, yeah. Like a brown paper
but
bag.
But I'm not overly aggressive. I'm independent, but I'm not overly aggressive.
Yeah, you're pretty cool. I do get what he's saying.
Yeah,
I don't think it makes it right that Kodak Black said that. He's a young kid.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think he's
Can
21.
Can we get some classes for these kids?
We do need some
to teach them how to talk
in public.
Yes,
and once you obtain this type
awards
of status,
was just.
Yeah, it was
a
terrible.
True example.
As much as I love Russell Westbrook's speech, he said more ums than you just got to teach people how to talk.
Yeah, I think it was a raw emotion.
It
so
was.
I give him credit for that.
It was.
But I do think that, yeah, because some of those speeches sounded like speeches that we gave in elementary school, like.
Some of them. It's like an Easter speech. Mm-hmm. Easter speeches, you know, those are the speeches where the church is packed, kind of make your knees
and
a little shaky.
A hand clap just for getting on the stage.
Just for getting on the stage, yeah. And then you just kind of fuck it up from there. It's like the the presentation of you coming on the stage and you getting off is really the best time. All that other in between is one of those things to where it's like, oh, that's cute. Mm-hmm. And that's what you have.
Yep.
That's what you got. So I wanted to talk to, I basically went over to a friend's house this week. Yeah, like Friday night. It was like a guy's night. We hung out. Woo-hoo. We had some, yeah, I know,
so
right?
So proud of you.
Yeah, because it's been a long time since I hung out with some guys. And it's like that. And it's funny because they were asking me that night. I was like, we'll never see you out. And it's like, I've had such a bad run with guys. Mm-hmm. Male friendships are hard to come by, especially after the age of like 25 or once you get out of college. Mm-hmm. But it's like, man, I've had the back stuck, the knife stuck in my back, mm-hmm. my ribs, my navel, cut my throat. All by guys. Mm-hmm. So for me to really just kind of fuck with a group of guys is kind of difficult. But the makeup of this group was, it was pretty dope. You know, as one of my homeboys, you know, from mm-hmm. Chicago, Jeremiah, me and him have gotten, you know, tight over the last year or so. Mm-hmm. Joe is cool. You know, me and Christian are rebuilding a friendship. Mm-hmm. And just the other guys, Brandon and the other guys that I had met, they were cool guys. And if mm-hmm. they're associated with these guys, then, I expect that they are pretty cool dudes. So we were hanging out. We were just talking that night. Had a few drinks and cigars or whatever and talked about the Jay-Z album and talked about relationships and just the way we view ourselves. And one thing that stuck out in my head is how all of the guys that are there, all the black men that were there, all educated degrees with masters or, you know, higher. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it was amazing to be there and just sit amongst
the
them. It was positive energy. Mm-hmm. It's funny because like, I could go sit in the same circle with another four group of guys, mm-hmm. and it's like,
what
are we doing? What are we talking about? No ambition. Mm-hmm. Nobody's done anything. Nobody's doing anything. And all that's being discussed is basketball and sports. Yeah. We didn't talk about sports not one time that night.
Mm-hmm. We talked about
it's so many other things that you could talk about without being corny. But, you know, we talked about the gentrification in South Dallas, mm-hmm. which I feel like you're from this area.
Yes, I am.
And you can tell me how you feel about it, but my whole thing with this gentrification, which I saw coming years ago, and it's like people are hearing it now, this whole gentrification area is taking this middle South Dallas area, this West Dallas area, and pushing the miscreants back to the black side of town, the prestigious black side of town.
Yeah.
And there it's being diminished now.
Yeah.
With break-ins. And I mean, not to be funny, it's unfortunate, but the little girl, Siobhan Randall, 13 of Lancaster, who lost her life from leaving her aunt's house and walking home, mm-hmm. and she kidnapped. Mm-hmm. And somebody wanted demands and found her dead. Mm-hmm. And you're pushing this shit back, these miscreants, back into this area. Mm-hmm. Just because people are black or a minority and we're black people, mm-hmm. it doesn't mean that we don't have some of the same concerns that some of those white folks have.
Exactly.
And it doesn't make you racist. It doesn't make you better. And it doesn't show any elitism. Yes, it deals with some social class and classism. But at the same time, it's like you fear that you want your property to be protected. You want your kids to be safe. You don't want to get robbed. You don't want to have break-ins. The same fucking fears they have, we have. Mm-hmm. How do we resolve that? And I was talking to these guys that night. I'm like, how do you stop that from happening?
The thing about it is you can't necessarily stop it from happening. With the whole gentrification of the area, for me being from here, I actually think it's a good thing in concept. Like, for me driving through the neighborhood and seeing how they're building things up and bringing things to the area,
yeah.
I think that part of it is great. What I don't like is the fact that it seemingly always pushes out black people. If more black people that are successful and have the means to be included and involved in these types of projects would be included, then it would be awesome.
But how do we get that to happen? And I mean, I guess you have to care enough.
Yeah, you have to care enough. I think that's more so for the everyday person to care enough to, you know, go to these meetings and find out what's going on and find out ways that they can be involved and stay in the area as opposed to always just giving up their land or their property and trying to start over. I feel like we always have to start over as opposed to expanding what we already have.
So what do you feel? Because I know, I mean, not getting too personal, but you have your part of land in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Is that why you're so back and forth about selling or keeping?
Well, no. Honestly, hands down, I definitely don't want to sell. Mm-hmm. That's it. For me, last week, I went through a very frustrating week because I feel like I'm being fucked with. And I know I'm being fucked with. So that's why I kind of got frustrated. And I was just like, one of those moves where it's like, you know what? Just forget it. But we can't do that. So I would be a hypocrite if I said, don't give up. And I'm over here trying to create deals for myself to give up my land. And the thing for me is I know that my family worked so hard and overcame a lot of stuff to get that piece of land.
Yeah.
It might not even be much, but they got it.
Yeah.
It was theirs. Now it's mine. So it's up to me to decide what I'm going to do with it.
So,
and I'm not going to give it away.
And that's kind of crazy because, you know, we've been watching the Queen Sugar
series.
And it's like it kind of reinforces, hey, we don't have much land. And for people who don't watch Queen Sugar, you should definitely watch it. But it's the Bordelones and the Landrys.
Yeah,
And basically the Bordelones is the black family. And they have a little piece of land that's that's surrounded by that whole county, which is the Landrys. Well, the story was is that... what was it like? It was a piece of land that a slave, which is their great, great, great grandfather bought, and he passed it on and he kept passing it down. But when he was a free man, he bought that land and now they want that land back because he bought it
in
the
right in the middle of their what land. They're trying to do.
And well, not even that. I don't know if you remember catching the story, but they're trying to buy that land back because the black man bought it from them to save that whole farm at a time that they couldn't afford to hold on to it.
Exactly. Yep.
So holding on, and land is the only thing that you cannot, there's no more of it growing. There's no more land being created. They're creating things on land, but there's no more land.
And that's why
the richest thing you can have is land because it's so, what's the word I'm looking for? It's rare. But I was going to try and use a bigger word, you know.
I think you were going for something different.
Yeah, I was just going to overstep boundaries.
Yeah.
I'm pretty smart, and you these are. Words come to me. But, you know, I'm inebriated this morning before 12 o'clock, so those words are not flowing into my mental. I was looking for another big word right there, too, but it didn't fit. But you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, all right. We're going to take a quick break. Again, you're listening to The Reality Is Where a Filter Becomes Extinct, and we'll be right back. The ambition flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, and sworn like this. Immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this. With Yahshua Web, new weapon. I don't contemplate. I meditate. Then off your fucking head. This that put the kids to bed. This that I got. Oh man, I got it. It's like a hunger pain just hit me. I wanted to, we're back. I also wanted, I know we talked about Siobhan Randall. I wanted to give a shout out to Caitlin Cargill, 14, of Bedford, Texas. She lost her life on last week after being seen walking her puppy, and her body was found in the Arlington landfill.
Yeah, and I don't know if we want to say give a shout out, but just give our condolences.
Give our condolences. But what I'm saying, I was just trying, thank you. That's why you're here today.
Yeah.
But I was basically trying to make sure we didn't forget her because Caitlin Cargill is a white woman, a white girl. And
still an innocent
Siobhan
child.
Randall is a black girl.
Yeah.
And the news doesn't treat it like we're treating it. You see what I'm saying? They put more importance on the black girl, not the white girl. Or the white girl, not the black girl. You know what I'm saying?
I think it's because her funeral was last week or whatever. So you know how the news is. They on to the next big story, whatever's happening in the moment.
But our condolences, we, you know, send our condolences out to the Randall family and the Cargill family. And hopefully they catch these motherfuckers. I tell people all the time, if you fuck with kids, death or the bottom of the jail.
Kids and old people, man.
Death. And some of my old fucking people are the worst, though. But kids.
Well, that's true, too. But
yeah.
Nobody deserves to die, like, just heinous like that. If you're innocent.
Yeah, if you're innocent. If you're innocent. Like, but I'm going to say, you fuck with children and babies, you deserve to die. That's how I feel. I don't think you need jail. So on the other end of that spectrum, the case was dismissed in Inkster, Michigan, against a 22-year-old father who had been accused of raping and killing his infant daughter. James Salt Marshall was accused of sexually assaulting and murdering his 8-month-old daughter in April. The charges against him were dropped Thursday as the court cleared his name. The medical examiner tells Fox 2 their original tests were found erroneous. What the fuck?
That's crazy.
Yep. And they had a picture of him crying like in the courtroom. And I was like, I would be excited to be out. But this story for me hit close to home. And I've never talked about it because I had a friend who he's in jail now. I think he's been in jail now for like 3 years because they said that he killed his baby. Some of the same things that were reported in this story were reported in his story, you know, at the time. I have my personal thoughts about that situation that I will not say because it was a legal matter. But I do not believe that he did that to his son. That's my personal opinion. I feel like he covered for someone very, very close to him at that time and still close to him at this time. And I feel like he was protecting them.
What a way, man.
Yeah, but 25 years, I ain't giving up 25 years of nothing to carry nobody. I don't care if it's a girlfriend or a wife. I'm not doing it. So, Bachelor in Paradise, DeMario Jackson and Corrine Olympus. A black man and a white woman. What is this story? You the one, I read over a little bit of it this morning. I saw a black man being interviewed and I was like, let me check this out and see what's popping. But I didn't know the full story.
So basically a producer came out saying that DeMario had sexually assaulted Corrine during taping. So it was
let's
a big
break
thing.
This down. So a white man saw a black man.
Well, we don't know.
Being intimate.
I don't know who the producer, if it was a white female, male, whatever.
It's the Bachelor part, the Bachelor thing. They just I'm had sure. their first I mean, black
can,
woman on the show.
You can draw conclusions, but I just wanted to, I don't
factual.
Know for sure.
Yeah, we ain't fact check on this, but I'm pretty sure he was white.
So yeah, the producer came out, said that it was a big deal because they actually had to stop the production for a while they conducted their investigation. Meanwhile, all of this was going on. DeMario was pretty much just saying, hey, if you just release the footage, then you will see.
Yeah.
You know, he was pretty adamant about it being consensual. It was unfortunate that he lost his job in the process of this whole thing, only to have it turn out that
he's not guilty.
It was consensual.
So inebriated white woman was indulging in sucking a black dick. It's pretty much what it is. That story doesn't sound far-fetched to me at all. That's especially why. Not in California.
And it's funny because she was into it, according to the film or the people that watched the film.
Yeah,
because
I'm sure you can't make nobody
bob
back and forth with a neck stroke.
Yeah, so she was definitely into it. But the minute the story hit the fans, she took on the role of a victim.
The victim of the white woman that has done no wrong. The penis was forced in her mouth and her ass.
And she
did
was half
nothing.
Naked in the swimming pool, in a hot tub,
in a hot
whatever
tub,
it was.
With drinks that were, you didn't have any drugs in your system. You were inebriated by the drinks. I don't think he choked you and poured that alcohol down your throat and stuffed your mouth full of cock.
And I think it's unfortunate that stories like this often, you know, hinder people's perception of something that could possibly be, you know, you never know.
Well, it hinders
days,
the perception
so
of black
many,
man, for one. It just adds into we are rapists and we're hypersexual, and nobody's not going to go with the truth because, like people say, the lie is more entertaining.
And then as a woman, I mean, you have people that actually do or have experienced these things.
I just had a friend. I just told you.
People can't take them seriously because it's so much.
It's so much fucking fake.
Yeah.
And I just told you about 2 weeks ago, I was like, I had a homegirl call me and was like,
She
was like, I just got raped. And I was like, what the fuck do you mean? And you were sitting there and it's like, I literally was pissed because I'm like, this is fucked up.
Yeah.
You got people out here really getting raped and you got motherfuckers out here lying. But that white girl scream rape shit with a black man has always been a fucking thing.
Mm-hmm.
From the eons of time and back in slavery time, even to now. I got a homeboy who was projected to be playing for the Longhorns back when I was playing ball. He could have played 2 years, got it, and left his sophomore year and went to the pros. That's how he was projected. He was that raw.
Mm.
And fucking around with a white chick, got caught fucking the white chick. Bam.
And it was all gone.
He was raping me. But you didn't, no force entry on the door or the window, but he was raping you. Got another homeboy. When I moved here, I used to date this girl, and her brother got caught fucking one. And her parent, her mother, was a cop. And when she caught them, she coerced her daughter into saying this. Now, he went on to graduate from college and starting to do things with life, but it's still hard for him to get in certain doors because that is always going to be on his record. Because he was 15 and she was 13. Or he was 16 and she was 14. Yeah. Whatever that 2 year difference gap shit is.
That's crazy.
That fucked him up.
I guess that's why so many black women have a problem understanding the
why
whole
black men
interracial
rush
dating.
To do it.
Yeah, like.
Because if
why?
You. There are. Well, first of all.
It's always a risk.
It's like, always a risk, but there are good white women out there. I know a lot of them, but the fucked up part about it is it's very few that I feel like if they were caught in between themselves and saving both of them,
they're gonna go for themselves.
And it's so easy that if the relationship ends up bad, like if a black dude cheats on a white mm-hmm. woman, or does, you know, if he doesn't physically hit her, mm-hmm. but if he does anything else that makes her feel like, okay, divorce, or he wants to get divorced, yeah. she could easily say anything. He raped me, he did this, and it could be years ago, and they're still gonna look into that shit and look into his actions. Exactly. And as a black man, once your name hits the fucking news, mm-hmm. it's hard to turn that shit around.
And I know for so many black women, like, we're so loyal to black, to our black men, that, yeah, we might think about doing certain things, but there's so much loyalty there that you're not going to fuck with your means. Like, that's crazy.
But you said watching the show, DeMario Jackson seemed to be a little arrogant.
Oh, yeah. Because now,
I'm not saying that he deserves to go through this, but some motherfuckers do need to be brought down and be humble.
I just started watching Bachelorette. Only because of Rachel Lindsay, the first black woman,
which is a lot of racial shit going on.
She's from
with
Dallas,
that.
So I really felt like I needed to show my support. So I done got caught up in this whole season, and he was on this season. And it's so funny because even he was always arrogant. He just seemed a little bit over the top, too much. Didn't really care for him. But the way that he got sent home was they did a group date, and it was like a basketball game or whatever. Mm-hmm. One of the girls that came out to the casting call.
Yeah.
Was actually an ex-girlfriend. She rolled up on Rachel and was like, hey, you know, just months ago, he had a key to my house or whatever. So clearly he's on this show just trying to make a name for himself.
Yeah.
And so Rachel gave him a chance to speak his piece or whatever. Yeah. He never could give a straight answer.
DeMario?
He never gave her a straight answer. So she was like, you know what? I'm on here for a real reason. Like, you just need to go home at this point.
Mm.
Yeah. So he was very arrogant, and so maybe he just seemed a little shady.
And I like to look at things from different angles. Maybe that was a humbling moment to say, you need to calm the fuck down, mm-hmm. DeMario Jackson. Thank God he didn't go to jail for this shit. But
oh, yeah. I definitely wouldn't want to go that far.
Yeah, humble yourself. Mm-hmm. What the Bible say? Humble thyself.
Oh, okay.
Great transition into Pastor John Gray. On yesterday. Let me see if I can find that video.
He was preaching a word for you, huh?
Yeah.
You agree with that word?
Well, a little bit. It was a little shaky from time to time. Yeah. But I'm just going to play this one clip. Let me find it. But basically, Pastor John Gray was talking about how the things that he felt that a man should do, and if a man does these things, how a woman possibly will follow suit.
Mm-hmm. Or should want to.
Should want to.
Yeah.
Wasn't it on here?
Yeah. I mean, it's all over Facebook, so I'm pretty sure you can find it.
And I have to cut the time down, but I'm looking. Do you got it?
Yeah, but it's not going to play like yours.
Love series. Let's see what we got. I know I saw it in here.
Go to Kim's page. Kim, it'll be on there. Minister Kim.
I'm definitely going to edit this thing.
Well, I just said, that's why I didn't give the last name.
I know, but where is that? I'm on a page.
Are you?
Yeah, find that. So we'll let a look at that. But he was talking about, Pastor John Gray was talking about things that a man should do, and if he does those things, how a woman should respond in submission sexually. You know, that's always a big thing in church because they don't really. I even went to a church one time where I heard a pastor's wife say, a man and a woman should only be having sex one way. And that sex one way was missionary style. So we found the video. So I'm getting ready to play it so you guys can hear it. And I know. I'm getting ready to play it. I just got to run it back because it was already playing.
At some point, wants a man to come home and say, babe, here's $1,000. Go get your nails done. Get your hair done. Get a pedicure. Get a manicure. Here's a box. Open this. Wear this when I get home. Nothing is in it. She's like, there's nothing here. Exactly. Have that on. When I get home, the bills are paid, the kids are covered, I prayed over you, now handle what you need to handle so we can have a nice night. Put on Luther Vandross.
Look.
Put on Luther, and let's do what we need to do. Because that's what a woman wants, and she should want it, because God made it that way.
All right, so hopefully y'all caught that, man. Let me turn your mic back on. What are your thoughts about that?
I mean, I think it's an honest statement. I definitely think it's something that is needed in the church, because, like you said, up until seemingly now, mm-hmm. church has been really guarded in what they say about sex and how they talk about that and teach young children yeah. about it. So I definitely think it's a space for it, and it was appropriate and it was accurate.
I think church people are the most sexually suppressed people.
Exactly.
Because they're acting
and because
like,
black people have grown up in the church, it is us yeah. that are, you know.
So what about times, what is this word? What about times or the men who do things they're supposed to do? Okay, so I had to read that.
Read your notes.
Yeah, but so the thing about it is for me is like, we talked about the submission part because it seems like all men want women to submit to them. Mm-hmm. Just like this Kodak Black thing, like he said, dark-skinned women mm-hmm. are more rugged and rough and gutter, and they don't submit as much, and they can't be mind controlled as much. Mm-hmm. And he was like, with a light skinned girl, we can break down, you know, we can break that ego down a mm-hmm. little bit quicker. Same thing is said for white women. So what is it?
I think that it all goes back to how you were raised. I know for me, myself and other friends that I've talked to, I don't mind being submissive, but what am I being submissive to? Yeah. If I feel like it's somebody that's not a good leader or is going to try to lead me down a path of destruction or where I'm going to end up losing myself, losing my time, my money, anything like that, I'm not going to submit to you. And that's just what it is.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. You do have a lot of men who are not fiscally responsible. They're yeah. not spiritual. They don't have they don't even know where they're going.
It's a lot of ambitious people, but my whole thing is I want you to be ambitious but strategic. Like how are you going to go about getting to where you're trying to go?
Like all these dreams.
Yeah. No. I don't want you to just be a dreamer. I think it's great to have dreams, but don't get caught up in that.
But what about, and from my perspective, what about the women who, not to be funny, they think that a man should do all these things and pamper them and do all these things for them, but they have nothing to offer or bring to the table? And besides what they look like.
Yeah, I definitely think that's a no-go. And again, I think that goes back to how these women were raised. I mean, you have some people, you can go back to the light-skinned, dark-skinned thing. In my family, light-skinned girls were treated like absolute princesses. Yeah. Everything was done for them. Everything was handed to them.
Whereas
dark-skinned girls, we got out there, we worked. We brought our own to the table. So this is just an example of, yeah, if you grow up thinking that, you know, people should take care of you, then that's what you're going to expect.
I think some women need to just know a role. Mm-hmm. And when I say a role, I don't even mean in a relationship. I mean, in what kind of woman are you? Mm-hmm. And do the expectations you have exceed who you are? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. It goes back to like you want a man who makes these things like six figures or seven figures or whatever. But
you working at
a department store.
Yeah, that's a bit much.
You just got to be careful. Just like with this whole Beyonce Jay-Z shit going on right now. Everybody's not fucking Jay-Z and everybody's not Beyonce. Yeah. And for all the women who feel like, this is my personal opinion, you can tell me yours, but for all the women who are like, if he cheats, I'm done.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I just told somebody else the other day, I said, but what if you go to another man and he cheats?
Because
and then another man and he cheats.
If you haven't learned anything at all from watching these celebrities and hearing their stories, it's just a general consensus that it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how beautiful you are, how successful you are. You can fall susceptible to your man cheating.
And I don't want to hear nothing by Jesus.
It just is what it is.
Don't want to hear nothing by Jesus. Don't want to hear nothing by Jesus Christ.
And nobody's perfect. I mean,
Jesus is not perfect. Mm-hmm. He got lucky. And I said this on other podcasts. The last time they said they saw him on the face of this earth was at 33 years old. Every time I've checked anything, didn't the Bible say he left this earth at 33 years old?
So you saying he got taken away
right before AC Green made it to 40 before he fucked some pussy. Jesus got took too early. He just didn't run into
so
the
you
right
wanted
Bathsheba.
Jesus to stay on earth longer to prove to you that he is who he says he is.
The nigga turned water into wine. He had something up his sleeve. So I'm just saying.
Oh my God. Okay.
Stay woke, as they say.
Stay woke.
Stay woke is all I'm saying.
Done. So, okay.
That's pretty much all I'm saying. The Jay-Z album, before we wrap it up, He talked about the Jay-Z album.
Love it, love it, love it, love it. I don't even know where to start because literally every song, when I first heard it, I think I messaged you when I was two songs in, and I was just like, this is everything right now. So I listened to the whole entire album. I think my favorite, my two favorite songs are, what was it, Family Feud and 444.
So why Family Feud? Go deep. I know you be trying not to be transparent. Go deep.
Just because, the whole thing, like, what was the line where he says nobody wins when the family is feuding? That's pretty much it.
Pretty much true.
I mean, I grew up, it was just me, my mom, and my great-grandmother. Everybody else in the family seemingly didn't have common sense. And it was always something.
I'm in a family feud right now.
Not to be funny, this whole whole family feud has taken a toll on me in a different way because it's like you feel like you finally come into something where it's great, it's close knit, it's tight. You know, you have a small family.
What episode
but
was it? Well, I think it
favor ain't fair.
Yeah, but was it 110?
I think so.
I think if for all the people who consistently follow the podcast and was wondering who is he talking about, because I got a lot of that after it was over. I'm talking about my brother.
Yeah.
Like, real talk. You know what I'm saying?
And that was, like, the least person that I would have ever expected something to come from.
Yeah.
And for it to be so vicious. Like, I was like, what in the world? I feel like I got blindsided.
Yeah. And like I told you, I feel like he attacked you because I'm so nonchalant. So it was like, you are the weak spot. So let me jab here and see if I can make
it. And
I
don't even think he realized what he opened up from me personally within, like how that affected me because of my own experiences with my family. So that alone, and I know, what was it? 444 was big to me too.
And why was 444?
The first song reminded me of you.
And we'll play a little bit of that and you can tell me what parts you felt like, made you feel like
it was a few lines in there, but I think overall the whole song because it was mostly about killing off your ego, which I feel like you struggle with still.
I got a big ego.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, but
sometimes too big for your britches.
Sometimes I concur to that. But the funny thing about it with the Family Feud for me, when I did hear it, it did make me think about my brother. And like he said, like Jay said, nobody's winning if the family's feuding.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because like I know my mom consistently reaches out to me all the time. You know what I'm saying? And she's like, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah, because even like right now, you got to have a game plan, like a different game plan for holidays.
Yeah.
Like, who wants to think about that?
Yeah, I got to go early and he got to go late.
Like,
and the funny thing about it is he's the one who spewed the rhetoric and he's dodging everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he don't come in a room. He won't come to an event. Like,
and then he did his damage by going out and telling everybody what his side of it was, which was not even accurate.
No. But he's always been an attention seeker to an extent. He may not feel that, but I mean,
I just feel like if you are who I, even an inkling of who I thought you were, you would be willing to sit down and talk it out. I'm still never going to have nothing for you, but I would at least like you to face me like the man I thought you were.
Yeah. And I don't have nothing else to say. That's pretty much legit because the things that he said to me and about me, it doesn't bother me because like I said at the beginning of the podcast, I've had people come at me before.
Mm-hmm.
You've been around me to see people try to cut the legs from under me,
mm-hmm.
you know, be envious of me and tell me that they were envious of me. You know, and the funny thing about it with the family is feuding is the two other people that was close to him was one of my close homeboys, Ronnie,
mm-hmm.
and one of my other homeboys, Derek,
mm-hmm.
who I've always supported in the things that they did do or
right
didn't
or
do. You know what I'm saying? Which a lot of it was wrong,
mm-hmm.
you know, but at the same time, like I said, that's what family does. But me talking about it now is just airing the shit out because it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And like, not to be funny, me doing this right now is no different than Jay addressing Kanye on that song
mm-hmm.
or any rap song. People finally making things public so things can't be speculated. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And this all and being totally, totally honest with it, this is all stemming from me calling to check on him because of the issues that he had been having in his personal life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Which those issues are his, which I won't, you know, talk about.
Yeah.
But that's where it started. And like I said before on 110, favor ain't fair. It was me saying that I didn't care for a person who had previously hurt him. So
and
it's
he's
me
the one that changed our opinion
perception
of that
person by telling us those things
so
about that person.
So naturally, if you care about somebody, you want what's best for them.
All
and
the time.
You want to make sure that they're operating in a way that's going to get them that.
Yep. And
but
yeah, I guess he took it as shots fired.
Get caught up.
I guess so. So we're going to play this Jay-Z album, Kill Jay-Z, not the whole
not
album.
The whole album.
Yeah, we're just going to play the first song, Kill Jay-Z. It's 2 minutes and 58 seconds. And you may hear us talk a little bit over it to where she can tell me what part she thought was about me, or we may just wait till the end.
Yeah.
Wait till the end.
Yeah, I want to wait till the end.
All right. All right. Well, let me play it and we'll shut the fuck up.
Kill Jay-Z. They'll never love you, you'll never be enough. Let's just keep it real, Jay-Z. Fuck Jay-Z. I mean, you shot your own brother. How could we know if we can trust Jay-Z? And you know better, nigga, I know you do. But you gotta do better, boy, you owe it the blue. You had no father, you had the armor. But you got a daughter, gotta get softer. Die, Jay-Z. This ain't back in the days. You don't need an alibi, Jay-Z. Cry, Jay-Z. We know the pain is real, but you can't heal what you never revealed. What's up, Jay-Z? You know you owe the truth to all the youth that fell in love with Jay-Z. You got people you love, you sold drugs to. You got high in life, that shit drug you. You walking around like you invincible. You dropped out of school, you lost your principles. I know people backstab you, I felt that too. But this fuck everybody attitude ain't natural. But you ain't the same, this ain't Kumbaya. But you got hurt cause you did Kumbaya. You gave him 20 million without blinking. He gave you 20 minutes on stage. Fuck was he thinking? Fuck wrong with everybody is what you saying. But if everybody's crazy, you're the one that's insane. Crazy how life works. You got a knot in your chest. Imagine how a knife hurts. You stabbed Un over some records. Your excuse was he was talking too reckless. Let go your ego over your right shoulder. Your left is saying finish your breakfast. You ex-Solange, knowing all along all you had to say you was wrong. You almost went Eric Benet. Let the baddest girl in the world get away. I don't even know what else to say. Nigga, never go Eric Benet. I don't even know what you would have done in the future of the niggas playing football with your son. You would have lost it. 13 bottles of Ace of Spades would have did the ball stand. Nah, Jay-Z. Bye, Jay-Z.
All right, so what part?
So, well, wait a minute. You know yourself, like
I do know
myself. Yeah, that's one thing that I really like about you. So, what did you think when I told you that that song reminded me of you? What were your thoughts?
You tell me as I look these lyrics up, and then I'll tell you.
Yeah, because we played the song, but we were actually talking.
Yeah.
So I can't even remember the exact lyrics. But pretty much the whole entire song was just reminded. When I first heard it, I was like, "Oh my god, this is Anthony." All day.
So, see.
And you might not be like Jay-Z in terms of the financial aspect
but
you definitely have.
Can I get 10% of that?
You definitely have the charisma and you have the ability to, you know, be. I think that's why so many people are intimidated by you.
Probably so. But I know the one where he talked about, let me find the lyric, but this fuck attitude ain't. Okay, there you go. So I know the lyric for me that made me most think about myself and be like, yeah, I can see this. He said, I know people backstabbed you. I felt bad too, but this fuck everybody attitude ain't natural, but you ain't a saint. This ain't come Kumbaya.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what the fuck? I've never seen Kumbaya spelled out. That caught me off guard.
That's why. Yeah.
Yeah, it caught me off guard, but I knew what it was because I heard the song. So, but yeah, I felt like that because I know you tell me all the time, you cannot not care so much.
Yeah, it's not natural, and it's only going to keep you away from the things that you're trying to achieve.
I don't even know how to turn that on and off, and I've heard this before. You know, people be like, how have you been with, not to be funny, how have we been together 6 years and and you don't want to marry her, and how have you ain't, how do you not care?
Oh, I'm getting sick of that shit myself.
I've even had ex-girlfriends be like, you don't still feel nothing? And it's like, what do you want me to tell you? I'm not the normal person. I don't work the way a normal person works. Mm-hmm. I don't even think that it's because I don't think it's a damaged thing. It's just really it's a personal, it's a part of my makeup.
From the love aspect, it is from damage. I think a lot
that
of times,
I do.
Yeah. I think sometimes you try to breeze over that a little bit, but I definitely think that whole experience that you had.
What else? It was something else in here.
I would have to look at the lyrics nigga, really no, quick.
Nigga never go Eric Benet. I love that shit.
Yeah.
I know you said they got shirts out.
Yeah.
And I know like, he was basically...
It was within hours. Yeah. And then Eric Benet responded on Twitter. He was just like, oh, I got the baddest that I'm married to right now. But it's just like, child, please.
He always... That's that light-skinned, whack nigga
yeah,
bullshit.
Yeah, like, oh, I got to have a comeback. Yeah. No, nigga, the song
is about when you was fucking up with Holly Berry, nigga.
Exactly.
That's what he talking about.
I don't even know who he's married to right now.
Don't nobody even know where this nigga is at.
He's not a factor. He's really not a factor.
And he's not relevant at
this point.
I love
Eric Benet, but yeah.
Get over yourself, my nigga. It's okay to be light-skinned and nobody cares about you no more. I know that shit is fucking tough, my nigga, but hey. You'll be
he
okay.
Better ride the wave while his name is still popping.
Yeah, right? he need to be like, I'm making a new album right now. You know what I'm saying? That bitch gonna be out, and it's gonna be at 5:55.
Yes, shit. To ride the wave.
Nah, but I feel like this whole Jay-Z album for me was a self-reflection album, which reminds people to reflect on the things that you've done or that you don't do or the things that you need to change.
Yeah.
And I you know, so many times we always look down the road and say, what would my 50-year-old self or what would I 35-year-old self tell my younger self? Well, like I always say, look ahead and say, what would your 50-year-old self tell your 35-year-old self right now in situations that you're in? And that's what I consistently try to do. Somebody posted to me and said, the Jay-Z album gonna make you fix your credit, pay your child support, take care your taxes, take care of your kids, apologize to your wife, change your Instagram, sell your jewelry, buy property, buy more suits, mm-hmm. pull your pants up and start reading books. Mm-hmm. That's how an album should make you feel.
Yeah.
Because I don't believe none of these 35-year-old rappers out here in the game now talking about still selling drugs and still fucking trapping mm-hmm. and talking the same shit that a 21-year-old savage is talking.
Yeah.
I can't rock with that shit.
Yeah, not at all.
What are you rebuilding? When are you going to address the mistakes to help somebody else? What Jay-Z just did was mentored to every fucking body mm-hmm. who listened to his album. Mm-hmm. He said the things that we need people to tell us that we don't have no goddamn body around in our ear saying, you need to do this.
Or sometimes you have people in your ear, but when you hear from certain people, it carries more weight.
It carries more weight.
Yeah.
And he is a person who's been to the top, who started from the bottom, who's been in between, and he's been caught cheating. He's lost the business. He's lost the deal. He's lost friends. He's lost family members and talked about his mom being gay on the app. Like, this is a therapeutic album.
Yeah.
Fuck the beats.
Yeah.
Listen to what the lyrics are saying and what they are saying. It's things that we question about ourselves. He has songs to where, you know, those times where you're sitting at home. Mm-hmm. And you're sitting at home because you just have nothing to do. Mm-hmm. But while you sit at home, you replay things in your life. Mm-hmm. Maybe why you're where you're at, mm-hmm. why your relationship is good, why is it bad, why is this job this. Like, that reflection time and that reflection period that people have or that we have at mm-hmm. times, some of those times are the most enlightening times. It also lets us know, I know for me, those are the times it lets me know, I did something wrong. Mm-hmm. I always discover in my peace of time, you know, my quiet time, what I'm doing wrong in life and how I may be doing people wrong.
Yeah. I know this whole album inspired me personally because I've been in this whole phase of figuring out what my next step is.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes people, you know, especially if you come from a certain background or you've made it to a certain point, it's like you get so caught up in not wanting to lose what you have that you become afraid to take a risk. But the only way that you can get ahead and go further is sometimes you have to step out and take a risk. So for me, it was inspirational in that aspect.
Yeah, I think it's dope. Even, and you know, I know a lot of people always take it to the relationship perspective with Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Yeah, but it was about so much more.
It was
more
so
than
much
that.
More.
I like that it encompassed that whole
aspect. Of course,
aspect.
He addressed it.
Yeah, because
it
that's
was one
part,
thing that he addressed.
Exactly.
And but, that's how you got to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that he addressed, but the whole album talked about investing more in black businesses,
mm-hmm. empowerment,
empowering each other,
mm-hmm.
brotherhoods being stronger,
families
not feuding,
yeah.
treating your woman right,
mm-hmm.
knowing that you will make mistakes, but
and,
being big enough to acknowledge those mistakes,
say, I'm sorry.
Being there for your kids, not wanting to fuck up a family because of your kids.
And
so for you
legacy.
Stupid shits who out there thinking that Jay-Z or Beyonce should have left Jay-Z for cheating, they got
like,
a family to think
you?
About. They have a fucking family to think about.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So no, she should have left. If she cheated, then what? We gotta sometimes take it, you know,
mm-hmm.
take up the shit too. And we don't know what happened in their personal relationships.
Yeah.
I know we have people that'll say there's nothing that happens that justifies cheating. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Not saying that it does,
mm-hmm.
but you have to look at yourself and say what and why.
Yeah.
I have friends who have gotten divorced after cheating. And when they told me they cheated, I was like, I get it. I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't right. But what do? If you don't cheat, do you just get a divorce because something you don't like?
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? You get a divorce before something happens, or does
yeah.
something happen and you fix that and you keep going forward as
and
a life
for
lesson?
The long haul.
It
I mean,
is.
It's like realizing that nobody's perfect, but you agree to come together with this person.
And love them enough.
Make it work.
Yeah, and love them enough through their fucking mistakes.
And not to be funny, that goes back to what you've often said about, you know, a lot of the older couples that we look up to and admire
yeah.
that have been married
you
for
don't think
40,
they did
50,
some wrong
60
shit?
Years.
Yeah.
Like,
sit down
no
and fucking
way.
Talk to them. My granddaddy
yeah.
been married fucking 5 times and his last wife is the one that he's been with this long.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee he probably did something wrong because mm-hmm. clearly it's in this nigga's DNA.
Yeah.
But she had to forgive him
exactly.
and keep it moving.
It's all about you committing to
and
make
and now
that
he has longevity
person.
To share. You
mm-hmm.
ain't gonna do that shit your whole life.
No.
Pussy gets tired. Pussy
mm-hmm.
gets old. Especially from same old different bitches. Once time you, if you fuck one, like Drake said, once you had one dime, you had them all. Period. If you fuck a girl with a fat ass, a flat stomach, breast, she's beautiful no matter what complexion she is,
mm-hmm.
you just fucked a bad motherfucking girl.
Yeah.
All you did was fucked another one after that.
Yep.
The pussy may be better and the head may be better because I will not agree that all vaginas are made the same. That is not the truth.
Hence my facial expression.
Yeah.
I was waiting for that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But physically.
Yeah.
Because when we get, when men initially are fucking women, we don't know how good the pussy is.
Mm-mm.
We don't know how good the mouth is. We're wanting to get them because of how bad aesthetically they look.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're going for. So what I'm saying is once you fucked one bad one, you fucked them all.
Mm-hmm.
Drake was right. But every vagina is not made the same. See how my voice changed?
Yes.
That vagina does not make, it's not the same. The head game. Is not made the same. That's all I got to say. All right, man, we're going to wrap this up. We'll probably do another breakdown of Jay-Z at a later date. I got a couple of guys who want to break it down and chop it up a little bit from that perspective. What do you have going on? Where can they find you at? Let them know about the blogging and everything you got coming up.
Well, I mean, you can always find me on social at KnowArtesia. That's KnowArtesia. The blog is KnowArtesia.com. Plan on rolling out some new stuff here shortly. I've been kind of busy with the summer, but yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
All right. And anything that you know, so many people hit me up and be like, hey, who does the website? How do I get on to this and this and this and this and that with the podcast? KnowArtesia.com. If you want to pay for a service for her
yes.
to help you with your website or help you get your podcast started and learn about RSS feeds and all of that stuff, info@knowartesia.com and she will take care of that so you can stop directing the questions towards me. I've told y'all 1 million times I am the voice of this thing. I am the face of this thing, but I am sure as hell not the goddamn brains of this thing. Did you catch what I just said to you? I am not the brains of this thing. Now, for real though, y'all can catch us at The Reality Is, man. You can keep up with everything, keep up to date with everything at www.therealityis.com. That's thatherealityis.com. Follow us on social media on Anchor, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram,
everywhere,
Snapchat, all social media. We pretty much are on there at therealityis.com. Again, that's T-H-A. Tell somebody to tell somebody to tell somebody about the podcast. This is one podcast that I honestly, we probably should be asking for money, but we don't ask for money because we want to keep giving you guys this content.
But there is a cute little donation area on the website.
It is.
So if you feel like it,
you want to drop something in there.
Exactly.
Let us know. And the things that you donate to us, they will go towards things like we have coming up, our third annual Backpacks and Haircuts that'll be in August. We will be posting everything once we get the flyer, print, final prints back and get everything out there. We'll let you guys know all the information and details for that. So anytime that you donate to the Reality Is Podcast, it's funding things like that. It's funding the Backpacks and the Haircuts. It's funding
community initiatives
and things like Coats for Kids in December and other organizations that we work alongside here with in the DFW. So everything that you put in to our pockets, it goes to help somebody else. I mean, every cent of it, we don't spend it. We don't buy dinner with it. We got other jobs.
And he does have the receipts to show
you. Yes, we do. We keep all that shit on deck. I can make it like a whole little service, like the pastors at the end of the year, the beginning of the year, who come out with the books and review them with you. So we definitely not trying to swindle you guys, man. So you can find me on social media, Anthony Roberts on Facebook, Sir Robert Poe on Instagram. As my girl said last week, hit me on The Reality Is first and then come back to me.
I'm so glad that stuck.
Yeah, it stuck because, nigga, you wanted it to stick. So keep up with all those things, man. Let us know. Also, if you want to come on the podcast or you want us to answer questions or you want us to read a review that you may feel about the show, or if it's a topic that you want to discuss and bring somebody in with you to come on, let us know by going to info@therealityis.com. And always remember, inhale courage to exhale success. You can do anything you want to fucking do. You don't need nobody to be somebody. Y'all take it easy.
All right, then.
All right. Hallelujah.
Hey! Damn, Brush, how you chop like that?
Yeah.
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 We the best music.
We the best music.
I worked my whole life for this one.
Yeah.
Another one.
DJ Khaled. Shining, yeah. All of this winning, I've been losing my mind. Oh, hold on. Don't try to me.
Nobody about somebody who can save anybody. Go ahead, it's on your turn. He can save. You remember that part?
Yes.
He can save.
It sounds like a real homegrown Sunday service.
He can save your soul.
Hold on. Don't try to slow me down. Yeah. And I'm gonna make a fool for it. You gon' need a natural when I lose the boy. Ratchet, you a tool, the boy.